From KLCC Media, this is the Oregon Grapevine. I'm Barbara Dellenbach. The Oregon Grapevine highlights fresh-pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live. Julie Fahey has been an Oregon legislator since 2017, representing West Eugene and Junction City. Fahey has worked professionally to make businesses better places for employees and employers. She's the chair of the Housing Committee and a member of the Business and Labor Committee, among other legislative duties. Thank you so much, Julie Fahey, for being here on Oregon Grapevine. Glad that you're spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
The latest session, the kind of official long session, as it were, is over. And what is your job now? What do you do for the rest of this term?
Well, Oregon is a part-time legislature, so we have a citizen legislature. And so most of the legislators who aren't retired have other jobs. In the off season, between legislative sessions, we have a number of duties. Many of us work our second jobs. And then on the legislative front, after the session, there usually is a month or two period of doing town halls and newsletters and really just trying to reconnect with constituents and get the word out about, what we did in the legislative session and answer questions. So I've spoken with the Eugene Chamber and I've got two community groups I'm meeting with tonight, and going to have a couple of town halls next week. And so that kind of constituent outreach is really important as well.
Do you have a staff? And is that staff during the session only if you do have a staff? Or does it help you throughout your time? How does that work?
So each legislator has an office budget. And the most common way to do things is that we have enough funding in our office budget to have two staff members when we're in session and one staff member when we're not in session. So I have one person that I keep permanent year-round, and then we had a second person in the office during the session, so that during the interim, staff help with that constituent communication and planning outreach events, and they also help prep from a policy perspective for what I might want to do in the next legislative session. So, I've identified a number of issues that I might want to propose legislation on, and so they're doing research and helping sort of manage that process as well.
I'm assuming that you are not an island of one and that you certainly have a life and you have a perspective and you see that there's issues. We can certainly talk about some of those in a moment. But how does it also work in terms of you getting information? Do you run into someone in the grocery store and they tell you, this is this problem and please help me, and you think yes? Or do they call you, or does your staff address maybe something that they see as a difficulty in the law that should be changed? What are some of the ways that you find out your interests?
Any and all of those things, to be honest. When I think back on some of the bills that I personally worked on this session, they were things that related to the housing crisis. So I am the chair of the Housing Committee and probably spend about half of my time on housing-related issues. But also a number of bills that were just across a variety of subjects. So I had a bill that was suggested from a constituent about the use of military surplus equipment in police departments. She saw that the state of Montana had passed a bill limiting the types of military equipment that could be used. And I, that was a couple of years ago, and I worked for a couple of years to develop the bill and pass it this session. We also have folks that bills that are sort of inspired by constituent experiences. So I have a large number of mobile home parks in my district and spend a lot of time talking to the residents of those parks about the challenges that they face. And one of those challenges was the owners of the parks selling parks to larger corporations. And what that happens with the corporations raising rents and cutting services. And so we had a bill that we worked on for a while that would make it easier for park residents to come together and purchase their mobile home park and operate it as a co-op. Sometimes constituents will email me issues. Sometimes things surface in town halls or constituent events that I have at, for example, a mobile home park. I do a lot of reading as well. So I, you know, during the session, there's not a huge amount of time for, you know, reading big, long policy articles. And so I have bookmarked a list of articles that I wanted to read about a variety of housing or not housing related topics, you know, including what other states are doing. So occasionally I'll read an article about a bill that passed in another state and think, oh, that's an interesting idea for us to think about in Oregon.
So while some of us are sitting in our beach chairs reading trashy novels, you're reading policy?
Yeah, and in fact, my friends occasionally make fun of me for that because there's different magazines that are geared towards state legislatures that, you know, cover bills and other topics or in other states or do a deep dive on a particular topic. And so if I bring Governing magazine to the beach, I know I'm going to hear about it from my friends.
I'll keep that in mind if we're ever hanging out somewhere. I'll read over your shoulder what you might be reading. I know that obviously legislatures pass legislation and your staff helps you do that. Do you also deal with things like I'm having trouble with my rent and I'm having trouble dealing with the city over these particular things, or I'm having trouble dealing with the state with this particular issue that they're, I just can't seem to get through the bureaucracy. Do you and your staff work on that level?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought that up because many people don't actually realize that your state legislators can help you sort of navigate if you're having challenges with a state agency or, you know, or something like that. So, for example, last year, our office helped a large number of constituents with unemployment-related issues. We've had people who've had challenges with the DMV or the Oregon Health Plan. And so that's absolutely a part of the job is doing that kind of casework for constituents, connecting them with the right people, getting questions answered if no one is responding to them. And we do that for state agencies and also local issues as well. So if someone's having an issue with the city, our office can help be a liaison there and get questions answered or things like that. It's a really important part of the job. And I would say a corollary to that is also, especially during the pandemic, just getting information out there that people need to know. So, for example, how to apply for rent assistance or how to apply for whatever benefits are they might need help with. So there's a website, OregonRentalAssistance.org, for example. And so, you know, much of my social media communication and you know, newsletters all talk about if you have unpaid rent and you need help with your rent, you can apply for assistance here. So that kind of casework is really important, but also just sort of getting the word out about things that people need to know, you know, what's going on with the pandemic. During the last year, there was a lot of, you know, changing precautions or restrictions, and so keeping people informed about that is also really important.
There's a lot said about party lines and legislative divisiveness and people not getting along and so on. What is your perspective on the relationships in the legislature and how the parties kind of work together and how individuals work together?
Yeah, I think, you know, that legislators actually work together much better than it might appear from the outside. So one of the things that I've noticed since being in the legislature is it tends to be the sort of bigger, higher profile bills that get covered in the media or talked about. And those might be a little bit more divisive, where it might be more disagreement about those bills. But the vast, vast majority of bills that we work on and pass in the legislature are either unanimous or bipartisan. They're just sort of the basic nuts and bolts of governing the state. I sometimes talk about, you know, the sort of quintessential bill is every year, every session, the mortuary board has to bring us a bill about, you know, the issues in the mortuary industry. And so it's, oh, we need to add, you know, we need to add a member to the mortuary board or extend the term or something like that. That's very boring and doesn't make it into the headlines, but it's really important when it comes to, you know, how government functions and just, like I said, the nuts and bolts of things. So the vast majority of the work that we do is that kind of nuts and bolts piece. I also personally have the opportunity to work in an issue area that is not at all divisive. The housing area issue area is one where we work together really well across party lines. Someone asked me, you know, give an example of a bipartisan bill on that you worked on in the housing committee. And I said, well, all the bills were bipartisan. You know, it's just, it's an area where everyone has ideas, everyone has something to bring to the table. And I found a lot of, you know, ability to work across the aisle. There's a realtor from the Redmond area named Jack Zika, who's a Republican on the committee. He and I worked together on a number of different bills this session. And I just think that that sort of one-on-one, okay, here's an issue, here's a problem that the Oregonians are facing right now, housing affordability, how can we fix that problem? So, I think people do work, legislators do work together on an individual level much more closely than I think you might perceive it from the outside.
What about the kind of social life or whatever? Is there a basketball court that people use? Is there, you know, going together for dinner? Do you have family barbecues? Is there any of that kind of stuff that you can put aside, perhaps, the issues of housing and mortuary and environment and et cetera, and just be together as socializing?
Yeah, so in this session was a little unusual because obviously, at least for the first few months, there were significant safety protocols in place where there wasn't much in the way of social mingling. But in sort of normal times, we in the Capitol, there is a lounge for legislators where, you know, we eat lunch and can sort of stop in for a cup of coffee. And that is a great place where that sort of more casual social interaction happens. You're right. It is really important to sort of get to know each other on a more personal level, to help sort of forge those relationships and, you know, figure out what kinds of issues someone is interested in and what their background is and what they might want to work on. So the lounge is one way that that happens. You know, there's a barbecue every year on the patio that the chief clerk's office throws, you know, and happy hours and dinner and things like that as well. But I would say the lounge is probably the main area where some of that more casual social interaction happens.
Why should people care about the legislature?
Oh, I think the state legislature has probably the most impact on people's lives. You know, a lot of the focus in politics is on D.C. and, you know, the rancor there and what's going on these sort of higher profile issues. But in terms of what impacts people's day-to-day lives, the state legislature is, you know, by far has a much bigger impact. Even on things like there was a bill this session, this sounds very minor, but to be able to buy Sudafed at the pharmacy without a prescription. And so that, you know, that is something that for allergy sufferers like me will actually make a big difference in your day-to-day life. On up through really more weightier issues like the Oregon Health Plan and getting people health care coverage who need it. So I would say the state legislature is the place where the decisions that we make, both on policy and on our state budget, have a much bigger impact than the sort of higher profile issues that tend to get talked about at the federal level.
Are there other topics or other look at this whole thing that you want to touch on that we haven't touched on here?
I would just say that it's definitely an honor to serve in the legislature. You know, you asked a question at the beginning about what people do in the interim between sessions. And it is really important that we get out and talk to members in the community. And it also just highlights that it is a challenge that we have a citizen legislature where people have to hold other jobs. We've got, you know, there's a member, fellow legislator right now who's off doing his National Guard service because, you know, he had 6 months where he couldn't do that. Another legislator who's a firefighter, and she wasn't able to do any of that work during the session, so she'll be working, you know, several months straight to help keep that job. And so there is absolutely a benefit to being a citizen legislature in Oregon, but it's also a challenge as well because, you know, we're part-time, we're paid as if we're part-time, but it really can be a full-time job if you make it that. And I personally, you know, I work with businesses and nonprofits to help them make their organizations better places to work, so they can help attract and retain employees. And, you know, for the first few years, I was doing a lot of outside work, and that really has tapered off as my responsibilities in the legislature increase. So I would just say it is, on a personal level, it is certainly a challenge to make that work for those of us who are not, you know, not yet retired from our private sector careers. But I do think it helps bring some important perspectives and life experience to the legislature and to the building and up in Salem.
Well, and it's also, it may be a part-time job, but it's not like there's exactly a part-time clock. If you're walking around, you may not be working that day. You may be with your family eating lunch, and someone knows who you are and comes up and starts talking to you, and the clock starts ticking.
That happens less than you might expect. It does happen, for sure, but I think, you know, state legislators are a little bit lower profile than the mayor of Eugene, for example, who probably is more recognizable. But absolutely. And I also think, I was just talking to someone yesterday about what it's like to be a legislator, and he had lots of questions. And, you know, I said it's a little bit of a choose your own adventure in terms of how much you put into it. So over the course of the pandemic, this was absolutely more than a full-time job. We had 3 special sessions last year. There were just so many crises and so many issues to deal with, from the pandemic to the wildfires to the ice storm, that, you know, I put easily, even when we were not in session, I was easily putting in well over 40 hours a week. And, you know, and that's in part because I took on leadership roles of being the chair of 2 committees and am in the House Democratic Leadership Team. But, you know, for those who have less flexibility in their work schedules, for example, they by definition have to work less.
Are there 2 or 3 things that come to mind that, as you dream about Oregon's future, or specifically perhaps your district's future, what would you love to see happen?
Well, I have to talk about housing. As someone who's been the chair of the housing committee for over a year now and just works so, you know, deeply in that issue, we have been in a housing crisis for years, even before the pandemic and before the wildfires. And housing affordability is such a major challenge, not just for my constituents, not just in Portland, but statewide. It's really both a rural and an urban issue. You know, housing stability is something that is so important for someone's health, for the education of our kids. You know, it is such a fundamental piece of what people need to live fulfilling lives, is to have a safe and affordable place to call home. So that, to me, all of the major investments that we made this session in housing construction and affordable housing, as well as some of the policy changes that we've made over the last few years that will make it easier to build more housing and to offer protection for tenants, for example. I would love, you know, if you're saying wave a magic wand and fix one problem, that is definitely one that I would focus on, and I would hope to see improvements on in the next 5 to 10 years in this state. The climate crisis that we're in is obviously having a major impact on our state with drought and wildfire. And so we made a significant effort this session to invest hundreds of millions of dollars in wildfire prevention and response. And we also passed a 100% clean energy bill that will transition our state to 100% clean energy over the course of the next couple of decades. And those are both sort of from a preventative perspective and from a dealing with the crisis that's already here perspective. That is also one of the major challenges that we're facing as a state. You know, I just had a friend move to Oregon, and I saw him a couple of days ago and said, okay, here's what you need to know about smoke season, how to prepare, you know, buy an air purifier and N95s and all of that. And it felt so normal. And that was actually really, really sad that this is sort of our new normal in the state. So wildfires, climate change, that's probably the other issue that I would say. If 10 years from now, I hope we are in a better place.
Thank you so much for your time and for all the work that you do. And I look forward to seeing where it goes from here.
Thank you so much for having me today. I really enjoyed the conversation.
You've been listening to KLCC Media's The Oregon Grapevine, fresh pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live.